Austin 316 says I just whipped your... Sit there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said, shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What?
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is a year in review. It's 2001, and also our Stone Cold Top 5 of 2001. I'm Mike Pru, along with JV, as always. JV, how you doing? What's going on? Aren't you excited for wrapping up 2001?
Yeah, we're going to trip down recent memory lane here to cover the top 5, each of our top 5 moments of 2001, well, which was not looked upon highly in wrestling history mostly because of Austin's heel run.
Yeah, because of the heel turn.
But we fixed sour that on shit. It.
Yeah, if you've been shit listening to suck. Us, right throughout our coverage, we're pretty high on it, and we enjoyed it. And you know, at times it didn't seem to make sense, but you know, in its totality, I think it made sense. And we're going to try to put sense to it today in this year in review and just kind of recap it and go through it one last time to try to put the pieces together and see, you know, what was fucked up, how it made sense, and so forth. So we'll do that in a year in review portion of the show, and then JV and I will do our Stone Cold Top 5 of 2001, which we've done for the previous years. We did 99/2000, we did 98, 97, 96. So here it is, another one, and we added the year in review portion to it because this was such a huge year. I think this is Austin's most worked year. He had more shows than ever before. You know, and you had just mentioned before, right at the top there, JV, that you know, this is recent history for us. And it's not recent history because we started 2001 nearly a year ago. So we're not going down just recent memory lane. This is...
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like a whole year recap for us, too. Going all the way back to January of 2001. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to try to make some sense of all this 2001. Stone Cold's jam-packed year. You know, this is the first year that Austin worked the full year with Raws and SmackDowns and pay-per-views. He didn't have that in 2000 because he was injured for most of it. He didn't have that in 99 because SmackDown only came about halfway through the year. And then 98 and 97 was just Raws and pay-per-views. So this is his most worked year, 2001. So there's a lot going on, and we're going to get into it in just a little bit. But what you can do before we get started here is follow us on Twitter. Follow us at BottomLineCast. Follow me, Mike Pru, at MPRU83. And follow JV at John Van Damage. John with an H, of course. And also, if you have some extra time, please consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast if that's what you're listening to us on. Or if you're listening on Spotify, do the same over there. Give us a nice little review, nice little write-up, if you will. And just share your thoughts with the podcast to attract other podcast listeners to this podcast. So we definitely appreciate that. And also, before we get into this episode, let's continue on with a little segment we've been doing over the past few weeks. It's a Stone Cold 316 Facts. 316 facts and stories about Stone Cold Steve Austin by Michael McAvenny. And JV, you're going to give us your Stone Cold verse.
215.
All right. JV picked 215. So let me get to it. There it is. All right, now I'm there. Little sound effects. And it is called Back to His Country Roots. Following the enormously successful Steve Austin Stone Cold Medal 1 year earlier, Mars Entertainment Corporation collaborated with the Texas Rattlesnake on a country compilation album in the fall of 1999. Sporting the CD case that morphed into Austin's face and then into a rattlesnake. Remember those cases where you turn it one way and it had a face and then you flip it? And then if you scratched it, it would make a little sound like...
That's old school.
Oh, yeah. So that's what this CD cover had, was Austin's face, and then if you just turned it slightly, it would turn into a rattlesnake. So Austin's Stone Cold Country was the new album. Stone Cold Country was a collection of 14 songs from country music's greatest. We'll see about that. This is like true country. This is not like Garth Brooks and shit. This is, you know, 80s, 70s shit.
Like George Strait.
Early 90s shit.
Country, right?
Right, like country. Not no fucking tailgating country. This is country fucking boot scooting boogie shit.
Fucking slow ass country, right?
Some of it.
Guitar strings.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some of it is stuff we would enjoy that we just never even bothered with.
I don't know. Country kind of sucks. Not a country fan at all.
Hey, remember when, like, back in the day, like, AOL, you do your AOL profile, and, like, your likes and shit? There would be, like, a thing for music, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know, like, everybody had it. Like, oh, or even if it was just, like, in a chat. If you were in a AIM chat, instant messenger. Like, oh, what kind of music you like? Oh, I like everything except country.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was the thing to say. Except country.
I think the only time I ever, quote, liked country is if I was trying to get a girl that liked country to like me. Yeah. That's it.
Oh, that girl wears cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. All right, I like country.
Yeah, I like country. Country is the shit. I like Hootie and the Blowfish guy.
Yeah, Darius Rucker. Now.
Darius Rucker.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned him because I dated this girl. Remember Jenny back in the day, like 13 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I dated her, and she was into country music, and you know, and I think that's around the time. So it'd be like 2009, 2010, where at least here in this area in the Northeast, you know, the tailgating for like Country Fest was a huge deal. You know, it continued to be from that point on. So all these hot chicks would go fucking act like they're fucking country western, even though they're from fucking Massachusetts and Rhode Island and shit. And they'd be up there looking all hot with their cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. And you'd be like, yeah, I want to bang that. I'm going to go to a country concert. I like country music now. So, yeah.
Well, country western was pretty cool. I would still go to that today because the tailgating's fucking dope.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
Yeah. Like, the concerts are cool, but, like, I can't put that shit on. I'll go to a concert for fucking anything, but, like, I ain't putting that shit on except maybe goth music or, like, screamo. Like, that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably won't go to that concert, but.
No. Fucking get punched in the head. Like,
yeah. Fucking mosh pitting. The fuck out of here. So they're, like, spitting, like, fucking Mr. Fuji shit and Great Moodah shit.
Green mist in your face. I'm
like, you know that's from wrestling, right? You know that's from wrestling. But anyhow, fuck it. I don't play that shit in my car, though. Maybe. I don't know. No. I don't fucking know. Because if I'm drunk, I'll fucking listen to anything. I've listened to some, like, fucking, like, I Got Friends in Low Places when I'm hammered.
I like that.
Yeah. But if I'm, like, if I'm sober or, like, stoned, probably not.
Yeah. There's not much I'm doing when I'm sober, other than being fucking nerd ass.
Yeah, I'm down for basic. Yeah, I'm down for anything when I'm drunk. Like, all right, I'll fucking listen to this. Let's go.
Yeah, so I remember with that same girl listening to Rascal Flatts in the car. You're like, what the fuck am I doing, man? I'm just trying to get pussy.
Yeah, I know. Just trying to get laid, and you're listening to fucking the Little Rascals, older brothers.
Little Rascals. Rascal Flatts, man.
Yeah. I just think of the Little Rascals every time I say that.
All right, so Stone Cold had this track list for Stone Cold, Steve Austin's Stone Cold Country. And here's the list, JV. And what I figured we should do, you know, since we We're not experts on country. We're going to have to listen to a little country. And some of the listeners, if they listen all the way to the end, because at the end of the episode, we're going to pick one of these songs to be played. You're going to pick one of these songs to be played at the end for a little country action here on this special episode of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. So here's the track listing. Keep one in mind that you want to play. Here they are. I've Always Been Crazy by Waylon Jennings. Fire and Smoke by Earl Thomas Conley. The Ride by David Allan Coe. All right, so they said that Steve Austin personally picked these. Now, if you listen to the song titles, it seems like some jack-off working in an office looked up country songs that had things to do maybe with Stone Cold's character. And that's what we got. But nonetheless, they say Stone Cold personally picked them. Next one. I Take a Lot of Pride in What I Am by Merle Haggard and the Strangers. Love a Little Stronger by Diamond Rio. That does not sound like a country guy. Yard Sale by Sammy Kershaw. Midnight in Montgomery by Alan Jackson. Let Go of the Stone by John Anderson. Highway 40 Blues, Ricky Skaggs. Some Girls Do, Sawyer Brown. I think that's one of the songs actually that Stone Cold sang that got edited off one of the episodes. Some Girls Do, Sawyer Brown. That's My Job by Conway Twitty. Don't Take Her, She's All I Got, Tracy Byrd. I've Got Rights by Hank Williams Jr. And I'm pretty sure JV's going to pick this one no matter what. So here it is. Whiskey River by Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking Willie. Isn't he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Well, is he WWF Hall of Famer?
Should be.
He should be just for wearing that stupid cheap-ass belt at WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
The shitty-looking world championship belt. That guy was stacked with gear when he came out and sang the song, you know, America the Beautiful.
America the Beautiful.
Yeah. It's gotta go. Yeah, Whiskey River sounds right. Sounds right up our alley. Whiskey River, Willie Nelson. All right, so you'll hear that, and I'll hear that for the first time too, at the end of this episode. All right, so with that said, let's get into this week's episode. It's a year in review, and last week we did episode 108, He Who Laughs Last, and we wrapped up 2001. So that's why we're here now with this year in review of Austin's 2001. We're just going to go through some of the big moments and matches and kind of give you a little idea of where you can go back and listen to what we had to say about that on previous episodes. So that's what we're going to kick off with, and then we'll do our top fives after we run through the year. So we'll start in January 2001. So the big moment, big matches there in 2001, January, was Austin winning the Royal Rumble. And we covered that on episode 73, Bloody Rumble, January 2001. So, heading into this year, Austin had just come back in late 2000 and tried to get retribution. He got retribution on Rikishi for being the driver. And it's also led into the feud with Triple H, who was the mastermind behind attacking Stone Cold and putting him out for months. So now, we had that feud going on. And at the Royal Rumble, Austin had cost Triple H the title against Kurt Angle. Then, as payback for Triple H costing Austin the title, on Raw from January 8th, Austin cost Triple H the title. So, you had this going on, this back and forth between the two of them. And ultimately, this leads to Royal Rumble. Austin is in the Royal Rumble. He wins the Royal Rumble for the third time, a record third time. Nobody else has ever won the Royal Rumble that many times. And he gets his title shot coming at WrestleMania. But he's still in his feud with Triple H. Triple H is not the champion. Kurt Angle is the champion at this point. I mean, Kurt Angle will soon lose the title to The Rock. So then that sets the stage for The Rock as the champion. Stone Cold, as the Royal Rumble winner, going to get his shot. But we're not quite there yet. In February of 2001, Austin and Triple H's rivalry is still going strong. And they have a match. A hell of a match. A three stages hell of a match.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And that's at No Way Out. And we covered that on episode 76, Three Stages of Hell. And Triple H actually wins that match. You know, partly because of some shenanigans, but, you know, good match nonetheless. You had the three different stages. You had the first match being a regular singles match. And then you had the street fight. And then you had the cage match. And Triple H just pulled it off right at the end. Fell on Austin and got the 1-2-3. Heck of a match there. And that rivalry, you know, that's a huge rivalry, which is going to contradict, you know, some things that happen later in the year. Not too much further into the year either, but, you know, this blood feud between Austin and Triple H was going on. And then, oh, hell, they're going to be buddy-buddy very soon.
Yeah, we get into the, what was it, the two-man power trip eventually.
Right, yep. So then they'll have that two-man power trip. But just before we get to that, they start to build up The Rock and Austin. And we get that nice build. And we talked about this build on episode 78 and 79. Actually, 77 rather, and 78, which was episodes Get Ready and I Need to Beat You. And those were great episodes that led up to WrestleMania, especially the promo with JR interviewing The Rock and Austin in the locker room. And Austin just like, I need to beat you.
Yep, when they're sitting down, right?
Right, when they're sitting down, right back there in the locker room. Austin, I need to beat you. That's like his main goal. Like, that's all it is. It's all about me just having to beat you. I need to be the champion. That's all I've ever wanted to be, is just the champion. That's why he's here in the WWF, is to be the champion. He has to prove himself that he can beat him and be the champion once again. So that is creating that storyline that we'll get to in just a second, where Austin, you know, he's in desperation mode. And he's putting it out there. I need to beat you. Whereas in the past, he wouldn't have said that. He would have just said, oh, I'm going to whoop your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to be the champion. And now he's looking desperate. He needs to beat somebody. He needs to beat The Rock. And then obviously that leads us to WrestleMania. The Rock, Austin, Part 2, WrestleMania X7. And we covered this all on episode 79, Stone Cold versus The Rock. And what a hell of a match. You know, there's not much more we can say about it. Hell of a match. But the ending is controversial. You know, what side do you go on? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Many people, as JV mentioned earlier, tend to look at this as a sour note because for whatever reason, they don't like the heel turn. And they think that the heel turn turned to business. And I'm simply going to say, That's not what turned to business. Stone Cold being a heel didn't turn the business.
No. No competition.
Right, exactly. Right, no competition. WCW over, ECW done. That's what ruined everything. Stone Cold turning heel is not the problem. Stone Cold as a heel, as we've discussed on this previous episodes over the last 11 months, roughly the last 11 months, there's been a lot of great stuff in there. There's a lot of great heel work. And the crowd, just, you know, to put it out there once again for everybody, the crowd didn't want to cheer Austin. That's like, again, revisionist history that the network, WWE, they like to do in their little programs that they come out with.
Oh, and they're still doing it today. They're horrible. Exactly.
No, they still do it today. They say, oh, the crowds wanted to chant for Austin. No, they fucking didn't. They were going along with it. They enjoyed it. They liked booing him because he was doing a good job at it. They still liked him, but they liked the idea of him being this shitty heel, this, like, coward heel. They enjoyed it, and everybody was going along with it. They were just fine with it. The crowds were still there. What do you mean business was down? Like, Everyone was still at the arenas, selling out the arenas. Pay-per-view views were down. Big deal, because some of those shows sucked.
Well, economy was in a recession, too.
Yeah, that too. It's if right I'm after not mistaken. Well, just prior to 9/11.
Well, the 2000 dot-com bubble bust. Bubble
right. Burst. There you go. Yep. So there's that. So to place all the blame on the heel turn, it makes no sense. In Austin, even at this time, he wanted the change. You know, so this was something he wanted, and it's something that he ran with and he excelled with. He excelled at being a heel. Because he knows exactly how to be a heel, how to get himself over as a heel, how to piss people off. And he did it perfectly throughout 2001. And then the very next night after he turns heel, on episode 80 we cover this, Why is Stone Cold Why? He fucks up JR in Oklahoma City. And that was another big moment that is just memorable because JR's all busted open and the crowd hated him. The crowd hated Stone Cold right there. And it was just another example of the crowd booing. And I just this revisionist history is driving me nuts sometimes when I watch these documentaries or say it. But I don't want to belabor that point, but I just want to put it out there for you listeners that don't buy into that bullshit that.
Yeah, and don't regurgitate that bullshit.
Right. Yeah,
someone says it, correct them.
Right.
It's easy for our boy Stone Cold.
It's easy to say something 20 years after the fact and act like that's the way it was when it wasn't. Because people watched it at the time. And yeah, maybe some people at the time didn't like it because they liked Stone Cold. But that'd be the only reason why they didn't like it. And most of those people that didn't like it, they didn't keep watching. So I guess that's part of the point there is that, yeah, some people stopped watching because it wasn't the same Stone Cold. But what he did worked. And it's not the only reason why things weren't the same with business-wise. I don't know. That, it's just one of those highly debatable. I guess I have my side to it, and other people can have their side, and it is a debatable issue. And I'm just on the side that Austin did a great job, and there's other reasons why the business started to decline at that time, mainly because no competition, like you said. That's just what I'm going with. So anyway, we continue on into April and through May, and at this point, this is one thing that I kind of disagree with. I mentioned these back in the episodes that we covered this, which would be 82, 83, 84. Those early 80 episodes that we did with the two-man power trip. So you mean to tell me that Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, you know, they hate each other. They're in a blood feud. And then Austin joins with McMahon so that he can become the champion. Triple H is just fine with it, and they're going to be tag teams now. They're going to be a tag team. That, to me, was like, come on. That's fucked up. So that people could argue that is the first blow to this not being a good change for Austin. As you turn heel, and then you're just buddy-buddy with your worst enemy now. So I didn't like that. I liked the direction it started to go. Which yeah, was.
But then we got Triple H as well. He got hurt, you know?
Right. And he ends up getting hurt. So, the direction was all right, these guys are eventually going to get sick of each other because they're two alphas and they're going to get pissed with each other. And then you're going to have the feud finally. And maybe that feud does what it should have, which is to make Triple H the babyface, which is what he should have been right after WrestleMania. In that steel cage match that they had the night after, Triple H comes in. He's coming in there like he's going to save The Rock, but then he fucks up The Rock and joins Stone Cold. Now they're two heels. People were excited, and people popped, like thinking, oh, shit, Triple H is going to be babyface finally. Woo, cool. And that was his time to do that. But they held off. They put him in the two-man power trip, and they were going to build up to it by having them split in the two-man power trip. It's kind of like doing the Mega Powers, but like the opposite. Instead of Hulk Hogan and Macho Man being babyfaces splitting, you're going to have two heels do it, and then one split and become the babyface, and that'd be Triple H. And that'd make Triple H a big star and have Austin be able to be the heel. Now, which is partly, you know, maybe part of the thinking why McMahon maybe even agreed with Austin becoming heels, because then he can make a new big star babyface with Triple H as Austin as the heel. But anyway, like JV just mentioned, it all falls apart when Triple H tears his quad in the match with Jericho and Benoit, which we get to later in May. But some other things that happen in May, also you have Stone Cold and Triple H as the two-man power trip. They're going at it with The Undertaker and Kane. I've read some things where people weren't happy with Stone Cold feuding with The Undertaker right away as a heel. They, from what I read, I forget what article it was, but it was like, oh, it's a downgrade to be feuding with The Undertaker, who at this point wasn't like a top guy. Undertaker's what? Always a top guy.
The fuck no are they what. Talking about? Yeah, right. You lose your wrestling like, credibility. Come on, buddy. Like, guy's been a top guy since he came into the right. fucking business. Right. Well, not the business, but...
Oh, he was.
He debuted as The Undertaker.
He, right, since he was the Undertaker. Guy. No, exactly. Right, even if he's fucking wrestling Albert at WrestleMania, he's still top guy. You know, he can transition to top like that, you know. So whatever article that was like, oh, no, he was with The Undertaker. I was like, eh, that's stupid, but I'll bring it up just to talk shit about it. But you had Stone Cold and The Undertaker at Judgment Day. That was a pretty damn solid match. What was interesting about that is Austin accidentally hits Triple H with the steel chair during Triple H having an IC title match with Kane. So you think, oh shit, shit's brewing here. Austin just cost Triple H the IC title. Well, Austin's got to watch out in his match. So in his match, Triple H comes down. Triple H doesn't hit Austin, but he nails The Undertaker to help Austin retain the world title. So right there, they're showing like, all right, Triple H has loyalty. He's the guy doing the right thing. Austin's the piece of shit, not Triple H. Still trying to build to that, like, all right, Triple H is the good guy in all this. He was trying to help his partner, regardless of whether he agrees with him or not. But then, just after that, that's when the quad injury happens. The next night on Raw, we covered this on episode 85, Bionic Redneck. That's when the quad gets torn. And, man, I remember I was talking about that on episode 85. How much respect we gained for Triple H finishing that match.
Yep.
Man, he did it. He survived it. He went through it. He just went through the finish. He got it done. And then at that point, he's out for the rest of the year. And that changes things dramatically for the second half of the year. Who knows what would have happened from that point on. Okay, the first thing we got to assume is that probably would have had Triple H versus Austin at SummerSlam. That probably would have been the big build to a SummerSlam match.
Yep, instead of getting Angle.
Right, instead of Angle. Now, Invasion would have been different, which is coming up soon, June and July. That would have been much more interesting with him involved, too. You know, it's funny, we talk shit, or people often talk shit about Triple H, but man, he could have been big in 2001. Could have been a good year for him. He was much needed in this. But it allowed for some people to break out, I guess, like in the case of Chris Jericho, for instance.
Chris Jericho, RVD, Kurt Angle.
Right, all of them. So Triple H being out allowed for them to rise up and get their chances. So in June 2001... you have Austin in matches now with Chris Jericho, with Chris Benoit. Even at King of the Ring 2001, you have the triple threat match. We covered that on episode 87, which we entitled Benerico. Stone Cold versus Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah. It's a good episode name.
Yeah, Benarico. Yeah, that's one of our more creative. We came with that
on the fly.
Right, we didn't have a name for it, so we just fucking combined them all. Benarico. Or Jericho and Benoit, the tag team. And the reason why, you know, that came up is because they were doing that, like, combination Walls of Jericho and Cripple Crossface move. So I was like, ah, let's combine their fucking names because that's what they're doing with their move. So they've been doing that a whole bunch. And, you know, Austin ends up retaining the WWF Championship, of course, in that match. But it's nice to see Jericho and Benoit spotlighted at that point. You know, and we know it's just because Triple H was out, but, you know, they scrambled and they got that match together. And then also on that same night at King of the Ring, that's when Booker T debuts. Booker T actually injures Stone Cold. So Booker T comes in, makes his debut, and fucking injures the Golden Goose. But with Austin, every time he gets injured, that just helps his character. Because now he's just going to focus on his character work and doing promos and segments and skits. So, like when he was injured back in 97 after the after SummerSlam with Owen Hart, he went on that like few month run of just giving promos and stunning everybody and then eventually stunning McMahon, and that leading to the fall and winter of 97 that would eventually lead to him winning the Royal Rumble in 98 and then winning the title at WrestleMania 14. So he did some great character work at that point. And now he's doing it again as a heel. So now he's going to be able to work on his heel character without having to worry about wrestling. And that's some good shit. And it first starts off, you know, he does some stuff with Spike Dudley, making fun of Spike Dudley and Molly Holly and their relationship. Then we get into July 2001, we get the invasion angle happening. And we have Austin and Angle now. They're competing for Vince McMahon's attention. They're giving each other, they're giving Vince hugs. And Vince McMahon's all like, what the hell's going on with these guys? And they're just trying to get attention from him. And they're buying each other presents. We got the cowboy hat situation.
The little badge.
Yeah, we got the badges. They're singing songs, playing guitar. And just great comedic stuff coming out at that point with Austin and Angle. And just a new type of Stone Cold character. And I really love, that's one of my favorite spots of the year. Not to give anything away, is just the interaction between Kurt Angle and Steve Austin during this time in the summer of 2001. And it all comes from him being injured, but also Kurt Angle being injured because he got injured in the King of the Ring match with Shane McMahon. And he also had matches prior in that night too. So he was beat up, so they both got a rest, and they had a good time with that and made for some fun segments in 2001. So from there now, we go to Austin, and this is another one, an interesting spot in the year. And Austin had been heel, a funny heel, granted, but now they think, it looks like they're thinking to turning him back to babyface. And it all begins with Vince McMahon saying, I want the old Stone Cold back. I want the old Stone Cold. And then Stone Cold's getting pissed off about it. Like, Vince, I'm giving you all I got. Like, I'm doing everything you want. I'm your man. Like, I joined you. Like, I fucking hate you, but I joined you. And you're saying I'm not good enough, basically.
This is when Austin starts to get a little bit insecure again.
Right, so now he's insecure. He comes back. He's pissed off. He's drinking at the bar, he's drinking at Tim White's bar, Friendly Tap, and he's just there at the bar. He's watching Raw. He's pissed off. Then he runs out of there. He leaves. He shows up. He kicks everyone in the Alliance's ass. And it's like, all right, babyface Austin's back, and this is leading to the Invasion pay per view. So you think, all right, Austin's babyface. We're at the Invasion pay-per-view. WWF versus the Alliance, ECW and WCW. Stone Cold turns on WWF and joins the Alliance because he's pissed off that he's not appreciated by Vince McMahon. So now you have a new version of heel Austin. You have the Alliance heel. So that's an interesting thing to think about, to break down this year, is you have, from WrestleMania up until this point in July, you have the heel Austin with McMahon. And then now you get this 1 week break where he's back to babyface Austin. Then immediately he's a heel again because he goes to the Alliance. And I think that's when you get the best heel Austin, is during the Alliance stuff. It was good stuff at the end with Angle, and it continues on with Angle in the Alliance. But this is where Austin really hones his character, and this is when he's going to come up with the what, and goes off from there.
Yeah, this fourth quarter of 2021. Yeah. 2001, sorry.
2001. All right, so you have the old Stone Cold. That brings us now to August, and like I said, he comes up with the what. For the first time, he does that on August 16th in a promo where he's trying to talk to the Alliance and hype them up. He's shitting on his Alliance mates all the time because they're losing matches and they're just a fumbling, bumbling bunch of people here. And he's talking to Hugh Morris, and you know, he does the whole thing. Hugh Morris, what? You think that because you're funny? What? So it begins there, it debuts there, and it'll take off throughout the rest of the year. So that's one important point there in the history of 2001 Stone Cold. But then at SummerSlam, you get a great match between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kurt Angle. We covered that on episode 93, which we called What? And that match was on August 19th, 2001. Hell of a match. We did a watch-along for it. I'd say it's a good match, but the finish kind of sucked in that it ended in a DQ. Angle won. Nick Patrick came down, fucked up the ending.
Hell of a match, though.
But yeah, the match itself was great. That's why I still consider it one of the highlights of the year, even though the match kind of sucked. The next night is even better.
The ending of the match kind
of
sucked.
Yeah, the ending of the match, rather. Right. The next night, big moment. Episode 94, we covered it. Melkomania, and that's what it was. Melkomania at the Stone Cold Appreciation Night. So Stone Cold the next night is acting like he won the match. You know, he didn't. Angle won by DQ, and Austin only retained the title. So he's having an Austin Appreciation Night because he retained the title by DQ, which is funny. So Kurt Angle comes down, he sprays the milk everywhere. That's great shit. And then their feud continues on, and now you have the issue of the gold medals. That was a nice little fun couple of weeks there that we covered on episode 95, Gut Medals, and episode 96, Never Forget. And this is when Austin throws the medals over the bridge, just like he did with the Rock's Intercontinental title. So it's called back to that.
Right?
Yeah, in the Detroit River. Yeah, this one was in the Detroit River. The Rock was, I think, in New Hampshire. But yeah, the same kind of story, just a little throwback. Just as the Melkomania was a throwback. It's funny that from 98 to 2001, they're like, all right, let's go back to the well. Just two years ago.
Let's recycle this. People already forgot, right?
Right. But still cool nonetheless. I enjoyed them anyway.
Yeah. Same here.
And I like the touch where Austin is afraid that he's going to get thrown off the bridge but gets pushed into the kiddie pool.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Austin's just paranoid. He's acting like he's a tough guy, but then he's being such a baby. He thinks he's going to die. And he just gets pushed into a fucking kiddie pool. So that's good stuff there. And then it continues on. Their feud goes on into September. They have the match at Unforgiven 2001, we covered that on episode 97, American Hero. And you had Stone Cold versus Kurt Angle. And in this match, Kurt Angle wins the title. The Olympic Hero. So this is coming, you know, just a week and a half after 9/11. And Kurt Angle had asked McMahon, you know, I think this is a good idea for us to do at this time for the country. And for the viewers of WWF to have me, Olympic Hero, win the championship from Austin. Apparently, McMahon told him, all right, you got to call Austin. And Austin apparently gave the okay And I mentioned this on the episode that we covered, but and Austin mentioned this on his broken skull sessions with Kurt Angle, that he didn't remember the phone call. And pretty much was like, shit, I must have been drinking something because I just agreed with it. And he's like, I don't think I would have agreed with that if I knew. But he agreed to it and Angle won the title, but it would be short-lived because in October, just a couple weeks later, Austin's going to win it back on October 8th. And Austin gets that title back. And that's going to be his last title reign. The start of his last title reign is beating Kurt Angle on October 8th. And we cover that on episode 99, the Raging Redneck. And then from there, Stone Cold starts to, he's going to defend the title against RVD, Kurt Angle. They have a match at Unforgiven. And we cover that on episode 100. That was Five Star Splash. And during that episode, we also had a cool little segment where Stone Cold interrogates RVD. And RVD doing, you know, his great job is just like, huh, what's going on? What the fuck? Like stoner
typical
roll.
Stoner roll, yeah. Right.
Doing a stoner roll much better than Matt Riddle does, though.
Matt Riddle's is like over the top.
Yeah. Matt Riddle's like child version.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. And he has a fucking Razor scooter. Like it's 2003 or something. Fucking riding around the back with a scooter. Give me a break. Anyway, on to November 2001. We have this great segment between The Rock and Austin. They do a sing-along. We talked about that on episode 103, Winner Take All. And that was also the Survivor Series episode. But before we get to that, we did a watch-along. And it was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock from Rebellion, November 3rd, 2001. And that was a hell of a match for a UK pay-per-view show. The match ended with The Rock going for the people's elbow. Kurt Angle runs in, hits The Rock in the face with the belt as he's hitting the rope. This allows for Austin to hit Stone Cold Stunner, and Austin retains the title. But hell of a match there in the UK between Stone Cold and The Rock, the first time locking up since WrestleMania 17. And then you had the winner take all, so now you're going to get the conclusion of the whole fucking invasion angle, the alliance angle. It's all going to be over here, Survivor Series. You have the winner take all. And this was all about, basically, there was a mole. There's a mole in the alliance. Who's it going to be? And Vince McMahon was alluding to it being Austin, that Austin was going to join the WWF. But that was wrong. Austin wasn't turning. Austin stuck with the alliance until the end. And it was Kurt Angle who had joined the alliance as a mole and then went back to the WWF. And then he cost the alliance the match. And Kurt Angle, all proud of himself, in that case, he turned himself heel because he was so proud that, you know, everybody owes me a favor because I saved the WWF. So he instantly becomes a heel after Survivor Series. And Austin instantly becomes a babyface now because the alliance is over. He got screwed by this heel Kurt Angle. And that basically ends all of the shit that happened throughout 2001. But JV, as we go through this, this starts to make some sense, I think. I find some cohesion in this story. It's just that in the beginning, you had that bump. You had the bump with the two-man power trip, and then they had to change everything from there.
Well, I felt like Angle basically took Triple H's role.
Yes. No, that's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's like they recasted a character.
Right. That is exactly right.
Which paid off better for WWF as a business long-term. Because they built another star in Kurt Angle probably quicker than they otherwise had anticipated. Not just Kurt Angle, but also Jericho.
You're right. Yeah, right. So as we're about to get to with Jericho to wrap up the year, he gets that big spot right at the end.
So, I mean, if you look at it, it's not bad. I mean, you think like these, I mean, we know Austin's sunsetting his career very soon. Yep. So you're going to have, you know, if Triple H doesn't get hurt, maybe Angle and Jericho
don't get that rub, and even RVD to an extent get that rub, because, you know, from 2002 to like 2005, you know, the next 2-3 years, Angle, Jericho, and RVD are huge. They're like, they're big for WWF. They're almost like stars.
No,
I mean, you have other guys coming, but they become like, you know, top 5, top 10 guys.
Right.
Considering now that they're carrying, you know, two shows very heavily between SmackDown and Raw.
Ah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought up the fact that Kurt Angle took that role, and that's essentially what they were going to do with Triple H probably during the invasion, is have them go back and forth and all that shit.
Yep.
So, yeah, and it worked out. Like you said, they created more stars. They had more production than they probably would have.
Yep.
You know,
they had to be more creative.
Yeah.
It worked out.
So, I think it's a plus. It's, you know, although it could be, you know, it's messy and they're doing it on the fly. So, you know, if you want things to be perfect, then you probably shouldn't be watching wrestling to find nice, tight writing. You know, maybe in 2001, the best writing you're going to get is on The Sopranos. So you shouldn't be looking at WWF writers for your best television writing at the time. But looking back, yeah, they did a damn good job putting together what they could, given the circumstances that they had. Also, they were building up Chris Benoit in June, too, and he got injured. So he's out the rest of 2001 also. And he would have been used throughout this year, too. So injuries definitely played a factor in this year. All right, so let's kind of get to the end here and wrap up the years. And, you know, this is what we just covered. So, you know, this is fresh in our minds. It's December 2001. You know, Austin loses the title for the last time at Vengeance, and it's all because of Booker T and Mr. McMahon. So they have that match at Vengeance, and then there's a rematch, Stone Cold Steve Austin losing a steel cage match against Chris Jericho for the title on December 10th due to more interference by Booker T, and this will lead to some great shit between Stone Cold and Booker T to end the year. So we get Booker T hotwire in Austin's truck. We get the grocery store brawl, which, whew, one of the best segments of the year. Yeah, even Booker T hiding in a church, playing bingo, hiding in the confessional, taking confessions from a girl that slept with her husband's brother and best friend.
His video, right?
Yeah, he wants the video. Just give me 10 Hail Marys and send me that video, and everything will be all right. Then you also get a first blood match, kind of to wrap up the year with Stone Cold and Booker T. We covered that last week on He Who Laughs Last. Oh, I said that wrong. He Who Laughs Last. Every week I joke that that's a fucking tongue twister, and there I am. I said it right there. He Who Laughs Last. He Who Laughs Last. There it is. And then also, out of nowhere, Big Boss Man's back. And he's here to help Booker T deal with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that, man, is 2001 in a nutshell. Okay, so if you listen to us for the first time on this episode, if it stood out to you, year in review, 2001, if you want the full nitty-gritty, the whole breakdown, go back in the archives, check out the episodes beginning with January 2001. Like I said, it was about 11 months ago. Go back and relive the year as we broke it down, match by match, episode by episode. And you'll get a lot more detail. You get all the promos, all the segments, and our coverage. And man, what a year it was. Hey, what a year it was, because, you know, this whole COVID year, what a good year of wrestling for us to cover during this shit-ass year that we had to go through. 2001. You know, it was my senior year into my freshman college year. It was your junior year into your senior year. You know, that's like the prime of watching wrestling for us.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Before life moved on into early adulthood. So good shit there. All right. So now we'll take a quick little break, and then JV and I are going to give our top fives. We're going to try to put all these segments together and choose the five things that we thought were the best of this year, 2001. So take a listen to Talking Taker, Alex and Travis, as they talk about their show, Talking Taker. We'll be right back.
Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. This is Alex Dorio.
And this is Travis White.
And we are the co-hosts of the Talking Taker podcast. You have heard us advertised by Mike and JV on the show every single week. And now that we have come to the end of our encyclopedic exploration, digging up the dead man after 187 episodes, 3.5 years, we just want to send a big, big thank you to Mike and JV and to all of you guys for listening and supporting the show after all this time.
Yeah, we thank you guys so much. Thanks for the support from your, Mike and JV and all of their fans. And as always, take her easy.
All right, we're back now for the Stone Cold Top 5 of 2001. JV and I are going to alternate 5 down to 1 to go over our top 5 moment, matches, angles, whatever the fuck of 2001 involving Stone Cold Steve Austin. And before we even do that, we're going to do an honorable mention. So let's go. JV first. JV, what do you got for an honorable mention?
Well, this didn't make my list, but did get my honorable mention. And that's the, it's kind of a two-part honorable mention. It's the start of the What chant. So first being used in August 2001. And then the real start of the What chant, in my opinion, which is when the crowd started taking it upon themselves to be a part of the show. And that was November 2001, and 20 years later, it's still a fucking thing. So, a great moment. I gave it the honorable mention because it's kind of gotten annoying over the years.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But historical part of the history of wrestling and history of Stone Cold, for sure.
Exactly.
So, good honorable mention.
What do you got?
What I got is Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock at Rebellion. not WrestleMania 17. Don't get pissed off. This honorable mention is November 3rd, 2001, Stone Cold versus The Rock, UK pay-per-view. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, JV and I did a watch-along for it, and we were totally impressed and spoke very highly of this match. It's on caliber with the WrestleMania match. Just doesn't have the same environment and pomp and circumstance and build up and whatnot. And it doesn't have a fucking Limp Bizkit soundtrack to it. But man, it's a hell of a match. It's worth going back to check out. And if you are going to go check it out, well, I don't know where you can find it right now. But if you are going to go check it out, we haven't talked about the cock this whole episode. But
yeah, fuck the peacock.
God damn it. Get your shit together. You know, and while we're on that topic, they did get our Raws that we need, but no SmackDowns yet.
The fuck they waiting on? How the fuck is SmackDown not like a priority?
Right. Years of SmackDown. They got 3 seasons. Bullshit seasons. Calling them seasons.
Call them fucking years.
Enough.
They're trying to fucking, like, make everything fit.
Make a TV.
Yeah.
Like, WrestleMania 1 is called Season 1. WrestleMania.
I know. I saw that, and that went right up my ass. I was so pissed. I was like, what is this fucking shit? This is what kids are going to think WrestleMania. This is the first season of WrestleMania. Like,
I watched the first season of WrestleMania.
It's fucking. I don't even like how they didn't, you know, this year for WrestleMania, they didn't, like, call it what it is. WrestleMania 37.
No, they never call it by the numbers.
It's been, what, a few years now?
Yeah.
I hate that.
It's been since... I think it's been since WrestleMania 30.
30? They stopped? So stupid.
Maybe 32? Fuck, I don't know. But, yeah, they stopped doing it, and it's been, like, basically themes ever since.
Yeah.
WrestleMania...
Fucking Pirates.
WrestleMania Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Two years in a row.
Well, this time it was actually in the stadium.
Well, I know, but still, that was the logo for 2 years. It was the fucking Pirate. Stone Cold Steve Austin Pirate.
Oh, hey. Brady won a Super Bowl, so.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Next year's Dallas. Dallas isn't winning a Super Bowl.
Dallas ain't winning shit. They're Dallas. They're the fucking Dallas Cowboys. People still fucking hanging their hat on something that happened fucking 25 years ago.
Hey, it'll happen to us.
Yeah, I know, but our run was much greater than the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
The Cowboys is fucking shit in comparison to what the Pats did.
Right. Yeah, the Cowboys won, but I would even say maybe Buffalo Bills are just as good as the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, they lost four in a row, but what the fuck? That's the most unlucky hit ever.
Right. All right, so let's move on now to our top five. Officially, here we are, top five. So that was my honorable mention. Check out Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock from Rebellion. Heck of a match. Underrated match. Some of you probably haven't never even watched it. So that's why I wanted to put it there as an honorable mention, because it stood out as being one of the better matches of the year for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's get into it. Top five, JV, you're first. Number five.
All right, number five. I've got Austin and Angle competing for Vince McMahon's attention. You know, the banter between these two was gold. The fact that they're kind of, you know, both insecure to the point where they want to make sure they're McMahon's top guy. So they're exchanging gifts and doing all the stuff that, you know, we just covered on the first half of the episode. It was great, great comedy. We also got to see a lot more of Angle's personality, which was a pleasant surprise to anyone that was watching. And we covered that in, it's from July 2001, and we covered that in episode 88 and episode 89. So Full-Blown Invasion and the Alliance were the names of those episodes.
That's a great pick there. Great pick for sure. I don't want to say too much because I might have some of the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen with both of us. So whoever gets it first gets to talk about it, basically. So here's my number five. My number five is a match, and it is the Three Stages of Hell match with Triple H. You know, a lot of 2001, I think, prior to WrestleMania gets forgotten. But Stone Cold Steve Austin in early 2001 winning the Rumble, having this feud with Triple H, and then having this big match at No Way Out 2001, Three Stages of Hell, a singles match, a street fight, a cage match, all back-to-back, and it was awesome. It was just a great culmination of what had been building up since Austin got hit by the car that we found out Rikishi did it for the people. But he really did it for the Triple H. Just like everybody's doing everything for the Triple H today.
Yeah.
And Triple H, you know, he pulled it out, though. He pulled it out here at No Way Out. And it's just, man, that match had me on the edge of my seat. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's up there as one of the best things that happened with Austin involved in 2001, in my opinion. That's Three Stages of Hell. I think it's totally underrated, and I'm rating it at number five. Three Stages of Hell. Check it out. No Way Out, 2001. Now on to JV's number four.
I do want to say that one almost made my list. It really did. That was probably number like seven, but it was in my top 10 when I was coming down. But my number four is Milkamania.
Oh.
So, had to go with that. It's kind of, even though it's more Angle-centric, it's an Austin moment. You know, it was Austin Appreciation Night and all that. And, you know, it's probably the highlight of their feud that wasn't a match. It's probably Milkamania is what most people would remember. As cool as, you know, my number five was them competing for McMahon's attention. I actually forgot mostly about that until we started covering again. But Milkamania, everybody remembers Milkamania. Even people that, you know, kind of left wrestling and never got interested in it again after 2001, they remember this. So I had to go with Milkamania. That's my number four.
Yep, that's a good one. It's crazy to see what you have and where you have it and what I have. It's like, fuck, okay. That's your number four, Milkamania, and I know you're going to have this somewhere.
There's no right or wrong answer here.
No, there's no right or wrong.
It's all opinions. You know, someone's probably listening to this like, what the fuck? Like,
how do you have that?
Number one, or that shouldn't even be on the list. Like, I don't know.
Right. Where's the two-man power trip versus Undertaker and Kane?
Yeah, feel free to send us your top five, listeners. We're all up, you know.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
Be,
I want.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Check it out. Tweet Bottom Line Cast on Twitter. We're also joining the Facebook group Bottom Line Cast, and yeah, share your top five moments of 2001. All right, so on to my number four. And JV, I know you're going to have this, and it wasn't your number four, so I know it's coming up in the top three for sure. And it is the grocery store brawl with Booker T. And man, this is one of the more memorable moments of 2001 that I didn't even have to go back and think about, oh yeah, that happened. Nope, I knew that. I've known that happened for nearly 20 years.
Well, that's one that'll pop up on like my Facebook or my Twitter timeline at least once or twice a year, just a clip based on whatever, like, so I haven't forgotten about that one.
No, you never forget about that one. Usually what you see is Stone Cold coming out of the milk cooler.
Yeah.
And just drinking some milk and pouring it all over.
It's such a great segment.
I mean, that one just gets me just for the sheer laughs of it. And it's just like a one. Well, actually, you know, it's a pretty good segment. It's like the length of a match. It's like 9 minutes, 10 minutes long.
It's wicked long. I mean, they go through the whole fucking grocery store.
Right.
I mean, they do $10,000 at the end. Yeah.
$10,000 damage to the grocery store. But yeah, that can't not be on a top five list of Stone Cold's top five moments, and that's where I have it. I have it number four. And, you know, any of these can go anywhere. And that's just what I decided to go with there. Number four. All right, JV, bring it in number three. What do you got?
All right, so number three, number three moments. We're getting into the top three here. Is Stone Cold Steve Austin wins the Royal Rumble for a record third time, and that record still holds today. Ah,
that's a good one, man. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, man, that was close. I should have put it because of, you know, just that record breaking, and it led to WrestleMania 17.
Mm-hmm. Great, this kind of kicks off. This is a big prominent point in 2001 that kind of, you know, it kind of set, we know Austin's going to be the focal point, ends up being the focal point for the whole year. Basically, all 12 months, Austin is like the focal point of WWF programming. There's not even like really a break. So, in, you know, January, Royal Rumble kicks right off from there.
Oh, yeah. That's
a good pick there. So, what's your number three?
All right, so this is the point where things start to get very similar to each other. And my number three is Milkmania.
Nice.
Milkmania, great moment. It's one of those moments just like the grocery store brawl where you're not going to forget it. It's one that lingers on. I even have a fucking wrestling figure of it. The box is the shape of the milk truck. And it's designed as the milk truck, and then you flip up the truck, and then you have Stone Cold, Stephanie, and Kurt Angle. You have Austin wearing the WCW shirt, that shitty WCW shirt at the time. You have Kurt Angle, who he's holding the hose with the milk coming out, and it totally reminds me of the old Ghostbuster figures that had with the, whatever it was called. What the fuck's there? Guns called
proton pack,
not the proton pack, but the gun, whatever. But the gun used to have like the little plastic piece sticking out of it,
like a plastic piece of spaghetti.
Yeah, and then you can just like twirl it.
Yep,
like it's fucking catching ghosts. Well, this figure has the hose, and then you have the, like the squirting of the milk coming out of it, like it's that fucking ghost.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
And then you have the Stephanie figure too, which is rare because there's not a lot of Stephanie figures. And they're all just inside the milk truck after you open the flap. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good shit.
It's like, man, that's a memorable segment if there's a fucking figure pack made of it. And totally memorable. Like you said, it is more of an Angle moment. You know, he even like mentioned it in his Hall of Fame speech, and you know, that's a big part of his career. But we know that it comes off and it's an offshoot of the beer truck segment with Austin. Yep. Austin gets hosed down with the milk here. So it's all about Austin. It's Austin Appreciation Night. He retained the title by DQ the night before at SummerSlam in a great match, which I wanted to cheat and have this number three be Stone Cold and Kurt Angle 2001. That's it. like everything that happened between them, whether it was trying to get the attention of Mr. McMahon and singing songs and doing all this goofy shit, to their match at SummerSlam, to the continuation after SummerSlam with the Melkomania, and then going on, like, throughout the entire year, they're feuding. Yep. And, man, it's just great. So, but I highlighted the Melkomania for that one spot there, and that's my number three. So that brings us now to your number two. What do you got?
Whew, number two. You know, my top two, this was fucking really, really hard. So my number two is WrestleMania 17, The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Austin turns heel. So this kind of sets the tone for the second half, a little bit more than the second half of the year 2001. It changes the landscape of WWF, you know, then and for the, you know, in the future, because now we got to deal with this revisionist history bullshit about how bad,
right,
of a decision this was and how bad of a heel Austin was. But this was significant, and I think it also had a significant impact on Austin's career that I don't think he talks about enough, but maybe we'll, you know, he's got that A&E biography coming up. Maybe
yes,
we'll hear more about that. This. So, because I know we're going to hear about the, you know, the King of the Ring speech and all that shit, but I kind of hope he gets more into like the heel run stuff and like his psychology and shit behind that. That's what I'd like to hear.
Yeah,
but yeah, number two, Rock and Austin. It's the second of their trio of matches.
Yep, WrestleMania matches. I would love to, like you were saying, I'd love to hear more about that, but I feel like
nobody ever asks either.
Well, I think he just automatically himself shits on it. Like, he doesn't even really take it all in.
That's true. He has kind of said that.
Like, he's just against it. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done it. Like, man, he needs to relive it and watch it and see it again. And see how great it really was. But yeah, we'll never get that, especially if he's on WWE TV. But now that this is being A&E, obviously it's probably in association with WWE. Maybe we get a little bit more, maybe not. And the reason why I continue on with what you were saying is because my number two is the same thing. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock, WrestleMania 17. Hell of a match, hell of a build-up. It's stood the test of time as being one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. You know, it's right up there with Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant as a main event match. Like, that's a main event match. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock in 2001. Like, you can't have a better main event.
No.
Like, even recent main events. Like, all right, so, like, The Rock and John Cena. That's like a fabricated main event. You took somebody from the past and put them with somebody that's currently a big star. Or heading towards the end of their career as a big star. 2001, you had two guys in their prime. Two guys that just happened to be stars at the same exact time. That's a true main event.
They've never had this.
They never had that. The only time that they maybe ever had it, I would say, is Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior. Where you had two huge stars right at the same time. You got to put them in the main event. Against each other.
1A and 1B. Even though it would, you know, right. Ended up being proven that Warrior was not a 1A guy.
Right, yeah, Hogan was.
So, but I mean, it's. So, I don't think there's any doubt. Yeah, that Rock and Austin, you could take them, put them in any era, and they're going to be top guys.
Yep.
And I don't think they've had, in that context, had that since. At least since.
Yeah.
But you're saying something because, I mean, there's been Orton, Cena, you know, even Jericho to an extent, fucking The Rock, even The Rock coming back, like you said, that was manufactured. It wasn't
right.
When Rock was back with Cena, Rock wasn't like a roster guy.
No.
He was a celebrity.
Exactly.
Wrestling.
I don't know, because I'm not trying to discredit the
Rock. No, it's just
most people understand. I'm not knocking like Rock. Rock's obviously was a great wrestler even when he came back, but fact of the matter was he was a part-time wrestler, not a.
And he was there just to draw for WrestleMania.
Yep.
Not like he was working there.
Yep.
Like Hogan and Warrior were at the time, or Austin and The Rock.
Exactly.
At that time in 2001, where they were there, mainstays.
They were full-time, yep.
Right. All right, so I'm going to go with my number one first. I'm going to switch it up here. I'll go with my number one first because you already said it. So I'll let your number one be a surprise because it hasn't been brought up yet. So my number one, it's crazy the way it worked out. And I think this was, and this wasn't a moment. This wasn't a match. And JV already covered it. And he covered it as his honorable mention. My number one is what is, to me, the top moment of Austin's 2001? You know, it came about after his turn as a heel, okay? And then Austin struggling in the early part of his heel turn to find something new for his character. And this what that he took, that he started as a heel character, ended up blossoming in being his new catchphrase as a babyface after Survivor Series. So while he started it in the summer by being an asshole to the Alliance, saying what, didn't really catch on right away, but he just looked like a jerk because he was like a paranoid jerk. That's what he was. So it worked at that point. But then by November, the crowd's catching on to it. Actually, but yeah, November when he has the promo with The Rock, that's when the what really started picking up with the crowd. And just weeks later, all right, Austin's babyface again. And I think something with the crowd had to do with that. Not just happenstance. It was the fact that they were probably thinking, all right, we got dollar signs. We got what t-shirts now coming here. And Austin needs to be a babyface to make sure that every kid is buying a what t-shirt.
Get to cash in on that money.
Right. And it wouldn't be the same if, oh, let's just keep him an asshole where he says what. No, let him interact with the crowd and say what and do funny things like, oh, I had a beer, I had spaghetti, I had a chicken, blah, blah, blah. You know, all that shit. Had some more beer, had a shot, had another beer, blah, blah, blah. You know, so he was able to get the crowd interactive. And that really put, I think that's what pushed him to say, Austin, back to normal. Fuck all this other shit. You're back to normal now. What's your new thing? What's your new, oh, hell yeah. And we're going to make a lot of money with that. And that's where that went. So that stands out to me as being the number one moment or number one aspect of 2001 is the what developed. And like I said, it developed when he was a heel. And he did it to try to change his character because his other shit wasn't working. You know, if you remember, he had the catcher, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. Like, he was trying to push all these other things. Nothing worked.
Which we liked. We were fans.
Right, we liked it. We liked it. Yeah, we liked everything about heel. We're a big marks for heel, Austin. But he got to the what, and that resonated. Probably because it's just one word. Right? It's simple. It's plain and simple.
It's cocky, and, too.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. It's perfect. Like, I can just picture you saying that in your Stone Cold voice to people. Oh, like, fuck you, JV. But, yeah, man, that's my number one. I cringed when I heard you say your honorable mention. I was like, fuck, that's my number one.
Started crying inside.
Like, damn it, he's shitting on it.
Hey, but, it's not my fault your list is like a fucking knockoff Gucci wallet.
Like you said, it's just opinion. It's just opinion.
Exactly. It's the truth. It really is.
So that's my number one. That's that. All right. Now, we are in some suspense here. JV went with Stone Cold versus The Rock for number two like I did, but I came at you with number one with a what. So what is going to be JV's number one? JV, what is it?
Come on. You know what it is?
Number one is the grocery store brawl.
Oh, yeah, you didn't mention it. That's right.
Between Booker T and Austin. We just covered that in episode 107. Price check on a jackass. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of said it when we were watching it, how, like, enamored and in love I was with this fucking segment. Yep. And when I was watching it again, I think I watched it three times. Because I know I watched the edited version, then I watched the unedited version, then I watched the unedited version again. It's just so fucking good. It's so much better. And, you know, shame on the WWF for fucking editing that segment and, you know, leaving out such a big part.
Right.
Like, which we covered on the episode, you know, it's the
when the moon singing hits your eye, like a big pizza pie.
Amore. With the frozen pizza and, it's just good shit. It's just, even the parts leading up to that where he kind of, you know, he's on the run from and he's talking to Vince, hey, I'm in the grocery store. He ain't going to find me here. I'm going to get myself a coffee or an espresso or something. And it's just fucking so good.
Yeah, I love all of it. I love even the continuation to the bingo hall and then.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's all part of it.
It is.
That's all part of that story. It's a good way to end the year, too. You know, and it's a nice comeback, too, because Booker T's the one that put him out, you know, injured him in June. Now, you know, now they finally get to have a rightful feud or rivalry at the end of the year to wrap up 2001. And man, we just wrapped up 2001. That was a hell of a list. Pretty similar, just things in different spots. But, you know, we're on the same page nonetheless. And shit, like I said, man, that was the jam-packed year for Austin 2001. Probably worked more than ever in that year. And it's such a shame because 2002 is going to lead to basically the end of his career. He's not going to be happy with creative. And he's going to ride off into the sunset and say, I'm taking my ball and getting the fuck out of here. Brock Lesnar, you can go fucking do what you want. I'm not losing to you in the King of the Ring qualifying match. Which I totally agree with, and we'll definitely get to it. But Steve Austin,
oh, I can't wait to get to that.
King of the Ring, like he made his name off of being the King of the Ring, and he's gonna lose on a qualifying match on like SmackDown.
Fucking terrible booking. Terrible. That's, I don't blame him for walking away. Kudos.
Right. Yeah, it's like fuck you. You bring this the new flavor of the weekend, and you're gonna use me to lose in a qualifying match. Get the fuck out of here.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I cannot wait to get to that. Can't wait.
Yep. Looking forward to it. And that's what we have in store coming up next week. We're going to start 2002 to the best that we can. You know, the fact is we don't have SmackDown because the cock doesn't have the SmackDown. I'm going to lay the SmackDown, the cock down on the cock if we don't get these episodes soon.
Fucking.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, so there's two episodes that we want to try to cover. So what we'll do is we'll research the Austin stuff that's on there and see if we can find the clips and cover that. And then also there's the Raw where Triple H returns, which we'll cover. Austin is on that episode as well. He's in a tag team match, I believe. So we'll be covering that next week on episode 109. So that'll be next week. 2002, JV. Whew, we're almost wrapping up Stone Cold's career. I don't think 2002 will take nearly as long as 2001. Definitely won't for sure. Especially if we don't have episodes to watch. So there's that. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick little break and we'll be back with the wrap up in just a minute. All right, we're back now for the bottom line wrap-up. And since this is a special episode, Year in Review, Stone Cold Top 5, there is no house show rundown. And there usually isn't one as of late, so that makes no difference. So let's get right now into my pick for the Stone Cold 316 Facts and Stories about Stone Cold Steve Austin by Michael McAvaney. And my pick is going to be Austin 242. And it's called Stunners for Everyone. On Raw, July 16th, 2001. Oh, we got a 2001 here. Steve Austin literally floored seven members of the invading alliance with Stone Cold Stunners. So that must have been like Sean Stasiak and a bunch of those guys, Dudleys, and so forth. So he was seemingly going to build momentum for Team WWF going into Invasion. But seven stunners wasn't his personal best. All right, so he'd stunned seven on July 16, 2001. But back on Sunday Night Heat on June 6, 1999, the Texas Rattlesnake connected with eight consecutive stunners, striking superstars, referees, and WWF personnel. Pretty much anyone within his reach. In fact, those eight joined the four stunners he had delivered to various superstars earlier that evening, bringing his total to a whopping 12 stunners in one night. So, man, they're keeping records of fucking how many stunners Austin had in one night against
different people. That's
wild. So he had 12 in one night on June 6, 1999 on an episode of Sunday Night Heat. All right, so stunners for everyone. All right, so now we move on now to what's coming up next week. We kind of just did that. So, again, that's episode 109, and we're going to kick off 2002 with the first week and a half or so of January 2002, and we're going to have Triple H make his return, and we'll go from there as we build up to Royal Rumble 2002, which we'll probably be covering in 2 weeks. So that's what we have coming up on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, and let's get into some podcast plugs for our pals. Always check out Talking Taker. Follow them on Twitter at Talking Taker. They have run through the whole career, the entire career of the Dead Man, The Undertaker. And as this episode drops, there's also going to be a new special episode available on Talking Taker. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be a special episode all about Kane, who just was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So nice to see them doing some coverage of Kane and coming back, putting those headphones on and getting that microphone going again one more time, one more ride. But this time, Kane. So check out Talking Taker at Talking Taker. Also check out Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast with Mike Mills, Doc Turner, and Hardbody Hopper. As every Thursday, they are releasing episodes of coverage of NWA World Championship Wrestling. And this week is December 16th, 1989, and they are just a week ahead of Starrcade 1989. Also, check out Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. This week is episode 219, and in their opening segment, they are defending WCW. And then in their Royal Rankings, which is their final week of Royal Rankings, for the best WrestleMania main event matches, they are ranking Hogan versus Warrior from WrestleMania 6, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 14.
Oh, okay.
So two big matches there that they have to find a spot for in the top 10. These are the final two matches being brought in. And then they also do a review in their final segment of WWF Superstars UK edition from June 27, 1999. Okay, so that's 1999, and Gorilla Monsoon is on commentary, and that's why they chose this one. It's a late Gorilla Monsoon on commentary. Fucking 1999. So you got, like, Gorilla Monsoon doing commentary for Val Venus. Doing commentary for fucking Meat, Sean Stasiak. It just seems like out of this world that Gorilla Monsoon would be talking about Val Venus. Well, there it is in 1999, and they cover that in their final segment. Again, it's Our Vantage Point. Also, check out Free Your Geek with Jay Free. It's his most recent episode. It's episode 99. And again, this is a pop culture episode podcast, and he's covering, you know, Disney, Marvel, comics, movies, wrestling from time to time. And this episode 99 is all about the Falcon and the Snyder Cut. So you get the Justice League with the Snyder Cut, and then you get the new Disney Plus show called The Falcon. What's it called? The Falcon and what?
Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Winter Soldier, yeah. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I always say shoulder. That's my accent. shoulder. All the American soldiers. All right, anyway, move on there. That's Free Your Geek. Check it out. Free Your Geek. Also, check out JV and I on the Extreme ECW Livecast. For this week, we are covering episode 41 for us, and we do watch-along versions of ECW Hardcore TV, and because we got screwed with the Peacock, we'll no longer be using the network and Peacock for our episodes. Now we got the hookup. We got the real episodes.
So we're going to have music.
Right. This one has the real music. Even got some fucking commercial breaks we're going to have to watch. And that is ECW Hardcore TV. And it's going to be the episodes from December 13th and 20th, 1994. So we're wrapping up 94 and we're heading into probably my favorite year of ECW, which is 1995. So that's available on the Book in the Territory Patreon $5 tier. And we also have some free episodes of our coverage of ECW here on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast feed. You just go to the Apple Podcast if you're using that. Just scroll down and you'll find our previous episodes that we put out there for free of the Extreme ECW Livecast. And if you like that, go over to Book in the Territory Patreon page and sign up for a month or so. Check out those episodes and enjoy. And JV and I have been doing it for nearly 2 years at this point as we head into 1995. So check us out there. That episode will be available later this week. All right. With that said, we are out of here, guys. Thanks for listening to our wrap-up of 2001. And we'll be heading into 2002. JV, any final words before we head on out of here? All right. So, guys, enjoy the song from Stone Cold's Country album. It's Willie Nelson, Whiskey River. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this shit's over with, so get the hell out of here.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let a memory talk to me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. You're all I got to give me. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let a memory talk to me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. Whiskey River, bathing my memory, mind the wetness of its soul. Feeling the amber current flowing from my mind, and warm and empty heart you left so cold. Whiskey River, take my mind. Whiskey River, don't run dry. You're all I got, take care of me. River, don't. Milwaukee River don't run dry.